Countdown. 10 seconds to firing.
9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You're listening to Trent Radio CFF 92.7 FM in Peterborough.
Now in the laid-back California town of sunny San Rafael lived a girl named Pearly Sweetcake. You probably knew her well. She was stoned 15 of her 18 years, and her story was widely told that she could smoke 'em faster than anyone could roll. Well, her legend finally reached New York, that Grove Street walk-up flat, where dwelt the Calistoga Kid, a beatnik from the past. He'd been rolling dope since time began. Now he took a cultured toke and said, "Jim, I can roll 'em faster than any chick can smoke." So a note gets sent to San Rafael for the championship of the world. The kid demands a smoke-off. "Well, bring him on," says Pearl. "I grind his fingers off his hands. He'll roll until he drops," says Calistoga. "I'll smoke that chick till she blows up and pops." So they rent out Yankee Stadium, and the word is quickly spread. Come one, come all who walk or crawl, tickets just $2 ahead. And from every town and hamlet, over land and sea they speed, the world's greatest dopers with the world's greatest weed. Hashishers from Morocco, hemp smokers from Peru, and the shashniks from Bagun, who smoke the deadly pugaru, and those who call it light of life. And the...
Here's a Muppet News flash. Police announced today that a killer lamb had escaped from the Department of Agriculture's maximum security sheep station. This lamb is one of a new kind of sheep that has been bred to hunt wolves and is extremely dangerous. This killer lamb has been trained to attack at the sound of a bell. Hello?
Manuel Kant was a real pissant who was very rarely stable. Heidegger was a boozy beggar who could think you under the table. David Hume could out-consume Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel. And Wittgenstein was a beery swine who was just as sloshed as Schlegel. There's nothing Nietzsche couldn't teach about the raising of the wrist. Socrates himself was permanently pissed. John Stuart Mill, of his own free will, on a half pint of shandy was particularly ill.
Why did they say he could stick it away?
Have a great old whiskey every day. Aristotle was a beggar for the bottle. Hobbes was fond of his dram. And René Descartes was a drunken fart. I drink, therefore I am.
Yes, Socrates himself is particularly missed.
Ah, lovely little thing about a bugger when he's pissed.
Philosophy Day on February 2nd here on Trent Radio, 92.7 FM.
And now, a Zen philosophy moment.
The squeaking of the pump sounds as necessary as the music of the spheres.
This has been a Zen philosophy moment, brought to you by Philosophy Day, February 2nd on Trent Radio, 92.7 CFFF FM.
Muppet News Flash. The Atlantic Ocean has just been kidnapped. Disappearance of the ocean was first reported by lighthouse keeper Murray Patterson. He was awakened late last night when 500 fish pounded on his door asking for water. Authorities suspect that the ocean is being held prisoner in an apartment somewhere in Newark. A ransom note has reportedly been received. The kidnappers are demanding 2 Christmases each year and a hug from mommy every night.
And now, a Zen philosophy moment.
In this very breath that we take, now lies the secret that all great teachers try to tell us.
This has been a Zen Philosophy Moment, brought to you by Philosophy Day, February 2nd on Trent Radio, 92.7 CFFF FM.
Labs has just announced that they are recalling their latest model hospital bed used in the Lime and Coconut production number. The beds were built on an assembly line formerly used for pop-up toasters.
Zen philosophy moment.
Teach us to delight in simple things and mirth that has no bitter springs, forgiveness free of evil done, and love to all men neath the sun. It's a Rudyard Kipling. I love Rudyard Kipling.
This has been a Zen philosophy moment, brought to you by Philosophy Day, February 2nd on Trent Radio, 92.7 CFFF FM.
Police announced today that a killer lamb had escaped from the Department of Agriculture's maximum security sheep station. This lamb is one of a new kind of sheep that has been bred to hunt wolves and is extremely dangerous. This killer lamb has been trained to attack at the sound of a bell. Hello?
You're listening to Trent Radio.
92.7.
CFFF.
FM.
In Peterborough, Canada.
And now, a Zen philosophy moment.
Our life is frittered away by detail. Simplify. Simplify. Simplify.
This has been a Zen Philosophy Moment, brought to you by Philosophy Day, February 2nd on Trent Radio, 92.7 CFFF FM.
Recently discovered a process which may go a long way towards solving the world's food crisis. Dr. William Edgar of Chicago, Illinois, reports he has found a method of synthesizing Italian dinners out of wool. At a recent press conference, Edgar demonstrated his process by knitting a tureen of minestrone while his wife, Nancy, crocheted meatballs.
Zen philosophy moment.
God is in me or else is not at all.
This has been a Zen philosophy moment, brought to you by Philosophy Day, February 2nd on Trent Radio, 92.7 CFFF FM.
Dateline, the Muppet Show. It has been reported just moments ago that a large, heavy object was dropped from the ceiling. Further developments will...
And now, a Zen philosophy moment.
The only joy in the world is to begin.
This has been a Zen Philosophy Moment, brought to you by Philosophy Day, February 2nd on Trent Radio, 92.7 CFFF FM.
A charter flight carrying the London Symphony Orchestra has been forced to jettison some of the musical instruments.
And now, a Zen philosophy moment.
Everything save everything distance.
This has been a Zen Philosophy Moment, brought to you by Philosophy Day, February 2nd on Trent Radio, 92.7 CFFF FM.
Flash. Dateline, New York. Medical science has been baffled by a sudden epidemic of the rare disease mallarditis. The illness strikes very quickly and causes its victim to turn into a duck. Mallarditis? That's the silliest thing I ever...
Zen philosophy moment.
Teach us to delight in simple things and mirth that has no bitter springs, forgiveness free of evil done, and love to all men neath the sun. It's a Rudyard Kipling. I love Rudyard Kipling.
This has been a Zen philosophy moment, brought to you by Philosophy Day, February 2nd on Trent Radio, 92.7 CFFF FM.
London. The will of the late Mary Crandall, which has been bitterly contested by her son Charles and her cat Cutie Pie, was settled today. A special court has ruled Charles is the sole heir, and he will be awarded the entire estate, 10,000 rubber mice.
Go, John Merrick, you're the elephant man, traveling through space. Go, John Merrick, you're the elephant man, traveling through space.
In desperate times like these, I ask, where has Jim Henson's idea gone? He believed that we should all be happy. The people and apparently puppets are fundamentally good, and a few more very pleasant things that escape my memory right now. This is strange since I have such an awfully good memory, but one thing is sure. Jim Henson believed in spreading smiles. I cannot smile as such, but this should not deter from my main point. I ask myself, where is all the good gone?
John Merrick, the Elephant Man, a genetically engineered test tube creation with the head of an elephant and the fat, gray body of a man, sets down his proverbial journal in a pause for thought. I say proverbial because he is an elephant, and after all, elephants have no need to write things down. They remember. John Merrick scratches his trunk and adjusts his spectacles. I am the genetically engineered fly on the wall, watching everything and reporting all to you, the listener.
Side note, March 4th, year one of our voyage, the 13th day. Consider taking up drawing or doodling at least. I think it could help relieve stress.
Bim boom.
Yes, what is it? Evil robot, put that knife down.
There's a problem with the rock pigeons in the herbivore arc E. Do you want I should take care of it?
We demand equal rights. We've been cooped up on this issue for too long.
In the middle of the night, what's the matter with you pigeons?
They feel the doves are getting preferential treatment as symbols of peace, whereas they are always looked down upon when in fact they have lived in better harmony with humans for centuries, end quote. I'll go deal with it.
Hey, peck on someone your own size.
No, evil robot, let's hear them out.
Yeah, and we have a much better sense of humor than those lousy doves. Whoa, did you hear the one about the bird who got in a minor automobile accident?
No, what happened?
It was a real feather bender.
Evil robot thinks that doves began as symbols of peace and quiet.
Hey, what holiday is strictly observed by all birds?
Oh, that's easy. It's Feathers Day.
Oh my, that's quite enough. Chim 24.
Bing boom.
See that the rock pigeons receive a bright, shiny medal each, making them the symbol of living statues in parks. For your heroic deeds guarding the symbols of man and preserving them with your droppings so that future generations may understand their importance and admire their color.
I'll run it through the diplomacy machine first, sir.
That makes us feel great, except I'm a bit thirsty now.
A bit thirsty? I'm downright hurt.
Okay, out, both of you.
Do you want I should swift?
No, evil robot, that's quite all right. You're dismissed. Everyone, good night. Resume diary. Yet I catch myself. It is always foolish to assume a golden age precedes you. It stands to reason that things are really no better in Jim Henson's time, 1970s in London at the Muppet Studios. 1970s in London at the Muppet Studios certainly were as cynical and jaded as today aboard the Space Canada, slowly gaining speed towards Alpha Centauri. What then was Jim's secret to happiness?
Thunk.
Yes, what is it now, evil robot? Put down that mallet.
That rotten tomato.
Captain, I have news.
What is wrong, Tomo? You look flustered.
Oh, don't mind that. He's been blushing ever since he saw that salad dressing. Smash.
Help!
Thunk.
He's trying to squash me.
Whack. Slash.
Cut that out, evil robot. What's wrong, Tomo? And how did he get in here? I thought you had no arms or legs.
I fell off the chair on the bridge and I've been rolling from my own momentum.
It's about time. I've been trying to get him to catch up for weeks. Ha ha, crush you. Thunk thunk. Ha.
Thunk.
Ah.
Ha.
Thunk. Hey.
Ha.
Ah.
I need help.
Quit it.
Please, could you just please tell me your report? Don't mind the robot. He's laughing so hard he's shorted himself out. He's bunking into the wall repeatedly like a confused remote truck.
Ha.
Thunk.
Ha.
Thunk.
Ha.
Thunk.
Ha.
Thunk.
I need help.
Thunk.
Ha.
Thunk.
I think there's aliens outside the ship. Real aliens. I'm sure of it.
Great pachyderm. For goodness sake, in the middle of the night, I was trying to remember in my diary.
In space, no one can hear you sleep.
Thunk.
Ah.
Thunk.
Ah.
Thunk.
He's right, Captain. There's no night or day in space.
Ugh. Chim 24, what is outside the ship's hull at present?
A discarded fuel capsule from Apollo 12. It's in the midst of her hull and a nail file? That's odd.
Yes, odd. It's a sign.
Visages of the Virgin Mary are signs, Tomo, not nail files.
Bring it on board for closer inspection, please, sir. It may indicate advanced alien something-some. Aliens with big long nails that need to constantly trim them lest their scratching overwhelms them.
I'm not deploying the grappling arm for your whim, Tomo. You couldn't use it anyways. You're a vegetable, and have no nails, nor hands, nor feet for that matter. Please, I'm worried that you've gone quite mad. Prove me wrong by not bothering me the rest of the night.
But...
Tomo, what is red and invisible?
I don't know, what?
No tomatoes.
Wait. I think I get that one.
Evil robot, reverse your engines, drop that mallet, and pick up the tomato. Put her gently back on the observation chair on the bridge so she can resume her duties. And both of you, good night. Resume. This leads to troubling conclusions. Did Jim Henson ignore the world's troubles and choose to embrace ignorance and petty smiles, or did he know something I don't know? We know where our coffee comes from. Even the coffee we carry on this ship now, as supplies last, is stained with blood at some point. Surely the coffee of Mr. Henson was not coming from somewhere else. I wonder what he would say about all this. I wonder how sick he got of all the jokes and tomfoolery.
But even in the night, John Merrick's large, genetically modified brain cannot shut off. His dreams run wild. Something like this.
It's the Muppet Show with our special guest star, Miss Bernadette Peters!
Moving right along.
I object!
Pardon?
You didn't show my favorite part.
What part is that?
Well, in the old days, everything the Muppets did had monsters in it.
Looking over there.
Eat it to whatever. That's what I said. And everything ended with eating. An explosion.
We're ugly, we're ugly as sin. Our beautiful house, ugly men. If you're ugly like me, you're in good company. There are millions of us who are ugly. There are millions of us who are ugly.
It was extraordinarily weird because he was so quiet. I remember the first time I came to New York. I grew up in an emotional household. My mother Flemish, my father Dutch. And on the table, instead of pass the butter, be pass the butter! That's what I grew up with. Pass the butter! And I went to New York, and Jerry Jewell and Jim picked me up in the station wagon, and Jim was driving right here, and I was right next to him, and Jim was talking like this. Well, it's really nice to... And I thought I was deaf.
Immediately, Jim and Frank started performing very well together. And almost the first thing that Frank did was to play the extra hand of Ralph, who then had a weekly spot on Jimmy Dean's show.
I remember every show, we'd be up there with the writers and rehearsing, and Jim had a good training period. Jim was not a man who liked to be told what to do. He was more of a free spirit. Not that he was rebellious, it's just that he couldn't contain his energy of wanting to do something new and fresh himself. But he heard it from them, and he took it because he knew it was these were old guard comedy writers who knew how to deliver punchlines.
Left cross, right cross, left cross, right cross, left cross, right cross, left cross, right cross. And if he hits me, blue cross, red cross.
TV's on again. How do you shut it off? All these transmissions coming from space. It's a wonder we get any sleep at all. Lights. I wonder about Tomo. When you're a vegetable with no limbs to move and the only function suited to your abnormal life is to sit in front of a view screen watching for aliens, I can understand getting pretty bored, perhaps a bit dislodged. I assign him this job because he's one of the more intelligent GMOs on the ship. However, I did not consider a tomato's mental stability.
Beep, boop. Your breakfast, sir. Scrambled eggs, brown toast, and hay, sir.
Thank you, Jim 24.
You're welcome, sir.
What to report from the night shift?
The ship's first homicide followed shortly after Tomo alerted the night crew for the 12th time, sir.
Why? What happened?
It was the 12th time, sir. Chimp 24, sorry, I'm Chimp 24. Chimp 36 sat on him. We all look alike, sir. He is now smudged into the seat and no longer, sir.
Are you sure the evil robot didn't do it?
Quite sure, sir. He spent the whole evening harassing a number of the lady chimps about his authentic emotions and how e-sensitive he can be.
Let's see this Rotten Tomato. Ow, ew, ew. Maybe if I try to wipe him up a bit with this cloth. Ow, ew, yeah. No, that's definitely gonna stain now. No. Tomo, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Tomo? If you can, wiggle your little stem. Ugh.
He's dead, Jim.
No, well, let me try it again.
If you rub it a little more, sir, we can serve soup in the mess this evening.
This is definitely gonna stain. I think he wiggled a little bit. Dear Diary, March 5th, year 1 of our voyage, 14th day. Crime. The foul beast that plagues society. And there is the bomb I have come upon. Society. In becoming the unwitting captain of this vessel, I had not considered that its crew are not just a complement, but a population in the ship its borders. I must look on this model as that of a society, and societies need governance, need laws. Or at least that's... what I keep hearing.
Court is now in session. The Honorable Judge John Merrick, the Elephant Man residing, Captain of Space Canada, and his Right Honorable Self. All rise except the jellyfish.
Ah, thank you. Evil robot, I had nothing so formal in mind.
Your Honor, this is case number 11353531, Laffy versus Chuckles. Will the parties please step forward?
I think he meant those parties mentioned in the case.
Oh.
Your Honor.
Yes, who are you?
I'm Chuckles, Your Honor. And this is distinctly mine.
Help me.
I object, Your Honor. This rabbit is certainly mine.
Get your hands off of him. He's mine.
Here's your gavel, sir.
Thank you, evil robot. Order. So you are two hyenas fighting over who gets to eat a rabbit?
That is correct, sir.
The creatures on this ship were meant to have a function, but its complement is not full. The functions are not satisfied. It will take some shifting, moving, and figuring before the ship finds its balance. In the meantime, the last thing I want to worry about is criminal justice. I'm forced to ask myself a rather poor quality joke. What do you call an elephant in space? Lost. Let the rabbit go.
Hey, that's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Well, it's funny, but it's not the funniest thing I've ever heard.
What's the funniest thing you've ever heard?
What would you call a rabbit cooked under an open fire and crossed with gravy?
I don't know what.
A hot cross bun! A hot cross bun! One a penny, two a penny.
When in prime working order, the ship is modeled to work much as Sir Thomas More's Utopia, where harmony is reached through a culture of shame and sameness. Within reason, we have problems with dimension More never faced. The ship is only yay big and a hippopotamus is larger than a lemur, so the model is altered slightly. In human society, great pain comes from assuming that everyone is a rational, considerate being with the same capacities. Albeit different preferences, as everyone else. As animals, we are above such generalizations by virtue of our outrageous, obvious differences. I cannot put two turtles, however mechanically minded they may be, on repair duty if they have no thumbs.
Don't pull him so tightly, he might bite you.
I'd call that a bad hair day.
Good one. But seriously, we should be careful with this rabbit. He's a wrestling champion.
Oh, what, why do you say that?
He's had a lot of hairpins.
Kill me.
However, we face problems that were surely prevalent in Moore's time and maintain their importance for this ship more than any other society. What to do with the disabled, the handicapped, the unabled, and those so unintelligent they need to be cared for and are incapable to care even for themselves? It is the hole in every utopian model I've come across. Obviously, rounding them up and shooting them all is not a solution we will undertake. Not that the subjective morality of it is especially distasteful. It would simply be going against the mandate of our mission if a sizable chunk of Earth's species did not survive to see Earth 2.
I have a joke for you. Why is a rabbit like a leaky faucet?
I don't know why.
Because it's running right now.
I don't get it.
It is running out the door, presently.
Oh!
is this still part of the joke?
I really don't get it.
There is no rabbit.
Our meal just escaped!
Aw, look, it's running in a straight line.
What does that remind you of?
Your receding hairline.
Gee, he was really moving. I wonder, how do you make a rabbit so fast?
That's easy. You don't feed it.
Genetically engineered animals are not genetically engineered equally in every respect. Of my complement of 300, only 50 are crew. The rest are stored in the Ark cargo holds, divided herbivore, carnivore, nocturnal, herbivore, nocturnal, carnivore, carnivores, aquatic, herbivorous, aquatic, and other. The crew are those able to think, reason, and get by on the ship without having a nervous breakdown. Nonetheless, many choose to stay in the cargo sections and chat all day because they'd rather do that than work. And I still have no idea how to make a fish do what it's told when it can swim away. They, the dumb beasts, and even many of the intelligent ones, want to respond to new and intelligent scenarios as though they were in the wild. I hope you hyenas have learned something here today.
Yeah, fast food's bad for you.
Jeez, I meant to imply that you shouldn't be eating other crew members.
Hey, Chuckles, do you feel like a glass of carrot juice?
Why do I look like one?
And so we come to the end of another court case on Space Canada. Tune in next week and hear Bailiff Evil Robot say,
I believe in corporal punishment.
You honestly believe in executions?
Certainly. I think all corporations should be punished. Down with the government.
The question. What is to be done with wild things in Utopia? I must seek advice from my parents. Mom, Dad, wake up. I've got a great philosophical dilemma. Listen, I know you really just want to pace around and eat hay, but I've got a funeral to preside over. And... Yes, thank you, Mother. I've just come up for some moral support, it seems. I feel like the whole world is screwed up. The whole space, for that matter. Just the whole ship, I suppose. Although I'm not very happy with the Earth we left behind in ashes, now that you mention it. I'm just not sure what to do. Things have turned so deadly serious. Oh, Mom and Dad. The animals are all so annoying on this ship. I gotta go, Mom and Dad.
John Merrick returns to his captain's cabin, lays down his big elephant head on his big elephant pillow, and falls asleep. Tomorrow he will have to deal with the funeral for Tomo the Tomato. The view screen in his quarters plays television, quietly, as he sleeps.
Halfway down the stairs is a stair where I sit. There isn't any other stair quite like it. I'm not at the bottom, I'm not at the top. So this is the stair where I always stop. Halfway up the stairs isn't up and isn't down. It isn't in the nursery, it isn't in the town. And all sorts of funny thoughts run round my head. It isn't really anywhere, it's somewhere else instead. Halfway down the stairs is a stair where I sit. There isn't any other stair quite like it. I'm not at the bottom. I'm not at the top. So this is the stair where
I always stop. You've been listening to John Merrick, the Elephant Man's Adventures in Space, Episode 1, Wild Things, starring John Mather, Caroline Sondra, Kevin O'Brien, Brandon Whitworth, Elliot Borer, and featuring the animal noises of Anthony Gulston and Philip Benmore. Written by James Kerr.
Juan, we know how to dance.
Juan, sabemos bailar.
The swinging tune that you're listening to is being broadcasted from Trent Radio 92.7 FM, CFFF.
Loungin' from Peterborough, Ontario, producer-oriented radio. Yeah. Ooh-wee.
Breaker 1-9, welcome back. This is the Red Delta Lady, and we got a bear in the air putting the hammer down on a Tijuana taxi, 10-4. Come back now, Jones, you got your ears on? I'm a rocking chair on either side of Gatlin, jamming my flip-flop down to Trent Radio. If and y'all want to shake the leaves, you better double Harley it on over to CFFF 92.7 FM. They're the best chicken ranch this side of the Coke in Peterborough, Ontario, Canada.
I burn with desires, but our love, it cannot last. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. Fuel and I am fire. You are fuel and I am fire. Open your eyes. Open your eyes.
Hello again, Trent Radio listener. Welcome to the best of the new theater on air, where you get to hear the best moments of 8 years of committee meeting minutes and sober conversation. Or at least what would have been 8 years of highlights. We were actually supposed to start this program back in 1999, but there were delays beyond our control. You know, there was that 1 week when the car wouldn't start, there were dental appointments, re-wallpapering of the house, that unfortunate imprisonment in Malaysia for reasons I'd really like kept out of the press. Look, the important thing is that we finally got things figured out now, and it's full steam ahead for the new theater in downtown Peterborough, as renovations are soon to begin in earnest. Enjoy these would-be highlights. Oh, look, an email from our architect. Oh, oh.
1999.
Welcome back. I'm Kate Story, and this is the new theater on air. Thanks for tuning in to our inaugural, historical, and not strictly rhetorical program, where we talk about the art scene downtown, but more specifically, the search for a home to do theater and performance in. Since the Union on Dublin Street in the spring of 1997, or as I liked to call it, the place that liked to call itself the Union, but it's not, my name never really caught on. Anyway, ever since the closure, the downtown theater community has become factionalized into roughly 43 factions, each with one member. But the need for space has brought together these disparate groups. We've just had our first meeting, and it went fantastically, with a lot of people from different walks of life sharing the belief that there is a need for an accessible space for emerging performers, as well as experienced ones. I'm joined here today by that meeting's facilitator, Matt Gilbert. Welcome to the program, Matt.
Hey, thanks. I have to warn you, though, don't get too comfortable in that chair. Because if that first meeting was any indication, it won't take very long for our creative, knowledgeable, and experienced group to find a suitable space, renovate it, and then start producing shows. This group is going to be about action, not talk.
I agree. Could you imagine how ridiculous we'd feel if... Let's be completely ridiculous here. If 2 years from now we'd still be sitting around talking about the same issues?
Like that would ever happen.
2 years of talking. That's a good one. So, Matt, do we have any prospects yet?
No, but I'm sure that will be just around the corner. If there's any justice at all. We'll find a space by the end of September, and we'll be ready to open for the new millennium. I only worry what impact Y2K might have on the lighting board once we open.
Excuse me?
2000.
And I'm back with Matt Gilbert, who is heading up the volunteers for a charitable bingo at Good Time Community Bingo, up Shamong Road. And when I say up Shamong Road, I mean way up Shamong Road. As in the middle of nowhere. Matt, are you at all concerned about the isolated location of this bingo for most Peterborough residents?
Oh, come on. This is run by the Lions Club, and I'm sure they know what they're doing, okay? Their first bingo drowned like Natalie Wood, granted. But I talked to one of the Lions, and he said it wasn't their fault.
What was the problem?
He said he didn't know. I felt bad for the guy. He was sweating a lot, and his eyes were constantly shifting. It might have been the strain of that big bag of money he was carrying to his car.
I see. But still, doesn't the previous track record bother you at all?
That's like saying George W. Bush could be an even worse president than Bill Clinton.
Like that's possible. George W. Bush and
Clinton.
So, Matt, would you like to tell our listeners how the volunteer recruitment is coming?
Well, I'm always looking for more volunteers.
Who do you have so far?
Well, there's myself. Matt Gilbert, Matthew Gilbert, Matthias Gilbert, Signor Mate Hilbert, and Alexis Gordon.
So that would be yourself and Alexis, then?
Yes.
That's disgraceful. The community should be ashamed that they're not getting behind this, considering the funds that are being generated.
I'm glad you feel that way, Kate, as we do have a spot to fill for this Wednesday session.
Oh, I'm unavailable. I have things to do.
What things?
Important personal things.
Such as?
Well, that really isn't any of your business. Hey, let go of my arm. Hey, ow!
Say you'll do next week.
No!
Say it.
Never!
You'll love the bingo.
I hate the bingo.
Say you'll do it.
All right, I'll do it. Let go of me.
This Wednesday, then?
Fine. Is there anything else you'd like to say before I have you forcibly removed?
Just that with volunteers like yourself, the money will keep coming in, and when our spirit search for a space ends, our problems will be over.
2001.
Our problems are mounting up.
Oh, dear. What now?
The deal for the bread company building is off.
That's news?
Well, it was on again.
It was? Since when?
Since 5:45.
Well, it's only 6 now.
I know, it's off.
What happened?
He found out we were artists.
Damn it. That is so typical. Everyone thinks, oh, they're artistic. They don't know how to pay the rent on time. The truth is, we're as responsible as anyone else with our money.
That reminds me, I need $15 for the cab outside. I lost all mine playing craps.
Don't look at me. All my money is tied up in Enron stock. Oh, hang on. This just in. 2 passenger planes have crashed into the World Trade Center towers in New York City. Thousands fear dead.
Excuse me, Kate, but I was talking about cab fare.
Oh, you're right. How rude of me.
2002.
Our coverage of Road to the Oscars will continue in a moment. But first I'm going to take you across town to a meeting of the One Roof Committee, which, unless you've had your head in the sand or live more than 2 blocks away from Hunter Street, you know that this is a committee of disparate arts groups, all looking for space in the downtown and looking to find a way to share a building. And I've received word that they are on the verge of a breakthrough. Let's see what's going on. Welcome back to our continuing vigil as I, Kate Story, and my broadcast colleague, Matt Gilbert, are continuing to carry out a moral strike against the indifference of Peterborough to our desperate need for a performance space. How long are we to be expected to waste away in this town full of performance space that no one from town can afford to use? For a city hall that seems so high on promoting tourism, and specifically cultural tourism, why can't they put their money where their mouth is? Well, no more. We will not be ignored. And to achieve our goal of a space, we will not go off air, and we will not eat until our demands of an accessible space in downtown Peterborough are met. Hey, how long have we been going at this? I've lost track.
We're about, halfway through the second hour.
God! How long is this going to take? What do those politicians want? Blood?
I'm going to the country style. You want anything?
Are you out of your mind? We're on a moral strike.
It's suddenly immoral to eat?
You know what I mean. We agreed to do this.
Well, actually, you agreed for both of us.
I'm surrounded by traitors and incompetents.
You know, Kate, you've got a bit of a Kurtz thing going on here. It's kind of unsettling.
How dare you? As president of the Peterborough Theater Users Group, you are excommunicated.
I'm out of here.
Don't you walk away from me. Couldn't you at least dump the piss bucket? Fine. I'm glad he's gone. He was just cramping my fun. My fun.
2004.
Welcome back. We are live and on the air, but I'm not sure where, as due to the massive flooding, I am floating with much of the downtown out to sea for a new life I can only guess at. I can only hope wherever I wash up that there is a free and accessible space where I can perform what will probably be by that time at least semi-aquatic art, as I will probably have evolved into having fins and several gills at that point. Mayday! Mayday! Can anyone hear me? Can anyone see me? I'm the dancer standing with a mic on a radio console floating to oblivion. Oh, God. What just brushed by me? Oh, it's just the corpse of my technician. I wish I'd learned her name. Oh, well. At least she looks like an eater. Now, where are my cats?
2005.
So, Matt. Is there anything new on your end as far as a new space?
Well, I heard there was a building on Simcoe Street that was abandoned.
Really?
Yeah, but it turned out that there were people there. They were just on vacation.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, what else is going on?
Did I mention going to L.A. 4 months ago?
Yes, 16 times.
Oh. Then nothing.
I don't know, let's play another song.
Can we play Johnny H. Jazz?
For the last time, no!
God, you never get to play when I want to play. I want you to play.
2006.
Well, friends, it's been a long and twisted road with many detours, an excavation, and even a biopsy, but the light is definitely being seen at the end of the tunnel.
Yes. We have reached an agreement in principle to take and renovate a 1,000-square-foot space just in behind the POW. It's champagne and caviar time.
Woo! In preparation for this, the core group have been having intensive conversations on how the new space will be run. And to help with this, a charter has been drawn up, and while not completely finished, it provides a foundation of how things can work. So now everyone grab a shovel, grab a hammer and some nails, and let's get... Kate. What?
Telegram was just delivered.
To the volunteers of New Theater, stop. Unforeseen circumstances forcing delay of clearing out building for renos. Stop. Not sure when things will sort themselves out. Stop. Please tell everyone to just stop. Ah, prunes. So, now that you've seen where we came from, you must be thinking, hey, Kate, there's nothing you could do or say to top what I've just heard. Well, you're right there. But at the same time, I'm 5 minutes short and have no choice to come up with something else. So, Trinketeers, put your special TNT time helmets on as we take a peek into the future of TNT on Air. What's that? Oh, my producer just told me to cut it out. Wait a minute! I don't have a producer! Now, prepare for strange visions and curious predictions as TNT on Air looks into the future!
2008.
Well, here we are. The great day has finally arrived. So much sweat, so many tears, so many acts of artistic prostitution by our collective selves. But tonight we celebrate the opening of our new theater! I'm just turning the corner and I have to tell you, it's nothing but limos out front. And of course, we all know it's been nothing but limos anywhere in the downtown since the shelters got shut down earlier this year and the city provided old, dilapidated limos for our homeless to live in. Isn't progress great? Fireworks are going up all over the downtown in celebration of the new theater. And I see it's going on down below as well, as the artists in attendance are realizing that no one applied for a liquor license and it's a dry bar. Look at that for a fly. But you'll excuse me for a moment as I tearfully enter the completed space for the first time. Where is it? What do you mean, where's what? The space, you moron! It was right here! I only turned my back on it for a minute! My new theater has been space-napped! Where am I gonna do my fart-in-a-bag performance now?
Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. Canada. Dateline, Peterborough. A city lies in shock as a brand new theater has been literally stolen. foundations and all by a nefarious group calling itself the BAA, which apparently stands for Bored and Agitated. The BAA have listed a number of demands before the new darling of the Peterborough skyline is returned safe and sound. First, they have demanded that the name of the theater be changed from the Neil Simon Can Suck My Ass Performing Arts Center to the catchy Up the 115 Theater. They have also demanded a year's supply of KFC and a full American withdrawal from the Philippines. The latter two demands are negotiable. As an initial bargaining position for the official spokesperson of the TNT, who prefers if we call her the Big E, has told the thieves, drop dead. That sounds promising.
2009.
Well, we're back. Here we are, just carrying on like nothing happened. We'll rebuild. We'll start again. Who am I kidding? We lost our theater. How in God's name do you execute a theater in the first place? The worst part of this is that I had left my favorite pair of shoes at the theater, and I never got to tell the shoes how much they meant to me. Go to a song. Go to a song.
2013.
Well, we've got a new space.
Incredible.
It's several thousand square feet. Beautiful downtown property, multi-level, high ceilings, plenty of storage, pet shop nearby.
Thank God.
There's just one catch.
What is it this time?
There's no floor.
I'm sorry. I didn't quite catch that.
There's no floor.
What do you mean, no floor? What, it's bare earth?
No.
Then what?
A black hole that sucks all physical form and light into its dark swirling mass to an unknown fate.
How does this make any sense?
It's the old Aeon parking garage.
I understand now.
2059.
Today, on our 60th anniversary show of TNT on Air, we will be talking to one of the last surviving members of the original TNT, Matt Gilbert, as we continue our search for a downtown performance space. How are you doing today?
What's that to say?
Matt, how are you doing today?
About 6:15.
How are you doing today?
Fine, fine. How are you?
What's that?
Never mind, never mind. Any shows on the horizon?
Yes. I'm playing the bedridden old mute in Bedridden Old Mute, that new Neil Simon.
Aren't you a little old for that part?
Never you mind. If I have enough morphine in me, I can still play a woman of 80.
With a glass eye and permanent dementia?
What was that, talking horse?
Nothing, nothing. I'm sure you'll be wonderful.
What?
Just play a song, would you?
Ah, oh, song. What a lovely idea. This melody takes me way back to a time of youth and hope. Oh, how I frolicked to this before my quintuple hip replacement. Please enjoy Nirvana's Rolling in Dog Feces.
I think my bladder bag is full.
Do shut up. You're spoiling the ambiance.
What?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.